Seated. First Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. Big B, would you do me a favor, friend? I like where you're at, but I need you up closer. Could you like sit over here someplace? You don't have to sit by T-Tom. I mean, nobody wants to sit by him. You got your Bible or whatever you need, notes? I'm going to use you in the beginning of the sermon. Not just you, other people that I have to choose one person that I like, okay? And somebody I like. I'm going to use Louie too, but that's another category. All right. 1 Corinthians 10. We're actually going to just dive off the deep end this morning. What we're dealing with for 4 weeks are these. The problem is most people can't remember what they learned 32 seconds ago. So let's go back to the first Sunday came out of Dave Haas's class. I was researching Proverbs, and I came across in chapter 7, The Simple Man, if you all have any memory of this, and I just went through the Bible, by the way, not about how you feel about yourself. Let's back out of your emotions. Not about how you feel. A description of wise, simple, fools, and the scorner, scoffer, that kind of, and by the way, a description. And I would say this, many people, if you follow the description, sound like fools. And I also said, if you remember, do you remember or do you consider yourself wise? A person that considers themselves wise is almost always a fool. Wisdom is a person that goes, I need help. I need wisdom. I need something on the outside. That was my first Sunday. Second Sunday, I dealt with palate cleanser. By the way, there's no need to have a discussion. We're going to start this morning, by the way, with this topic. This is ancient Hebrew. That's ancient Hebrew, by the way. There's no need to come in here and just pick our nose. We got to dive off the deep end sometime. For a Christian, is anything wrong? I'm not convinced of that among most people. We'll get to that. So the second week was the palate cleanser, which was a recognition. God is true. An admission. I'm not God. And a submission. Let God be true. And does that include you? Well, see, that's where the problem comes. If it doesn't include you, I'm talking about you because I'm, you know, me too, then we're in trouble. And by the way, most people, the source of all truth is right here. Their emotions, how they feel, what's going on in their world. I also dealt with then the four driving factors. I don't need to have a discussion in this class until you know these. The double nickel. I have a young lady that got a 1943 nickel that day, correct? Everybody looking, what's the double nickel? Number one, the first nickel is this, the desire to be right. Everybody has the desire to be right. Secondly, the desire to win. Now, there are people in this room say, I don't have that desire. You're lying. You're just lying. Now, you might manifest it differently than some people. For instance, I've seen people that aren't good at a sport or something, they would never play it because they know they can't win. But that's still the desire to win. So the desire to be right and the desire to win, by the way, we have to go back to the palate cleanser. Cleanse your palate. Get back to God is true, not you, not me. The other side is the harder one. The other side is the desire to feel good about myself and to look good before others, which dominates people's lives. Some people, if they ever get embarrassed at any time, whether somebody else embarrassed them or they embarrass themselves, they got to flee because the drive to look good before people. And by the way, I don't know why we have to look good before people, because part of it is, I said it that week, we're all sinners. But I can't ever remember sinning in the last 200 years. Yeah. All right, we've talked about some other things. Today we're going to talk about the final four. We're also going to talk about the first 10. But we're going to get to practical things. This is a good one. I'm going to draw something around this. This comes from Emily Tupper. So if you don't like it, blame Emily Tupper. She's quoting me. Surrounding most of our culture up through my early lifetime was a Judeo-Christian background. That permeated everything that I grew up around, even by unsaved people. Does it permeate anything today? That's really the problem. And that's the reason I want to write one more thing, and then we're going to stand and read. Some people don't like these. They hate questions. See, I only like questions. Now, that's weird. I only like questions. Some people like this. Pastor, give me the answers. You say, why do you just want the answers? Then you can agree or disagree. Who's still in charge? Yeah, thank you. By the way, the bigger problem is, and I think you already know this, our culture has changed so much in the last 10 to 20 years that the questions are so different than they were in the past. Now, some will remain the same, but there's just questions every place. It's hard to even figure out what ends up. Shacking up is one of them. Let's stand, please. Now, these are the final four principles that the Apostle Paul draws out at the end, look at me, folks, of chapter 8, 9, and 10. So there's three whole chapters. I need to deal with five or six principles from those chapters, and I also need to deal with three contexts, but we're going to have to deal with that at another time. Verse 31. Here's his conclusion. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink. By the way, this is a positive statement, Billy Baptist, not a negative one. He says, you are to live for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Then he says, give none offense. A very, very different word than often is used. It literally means this. Brian, walk my way. Brian is just walking my way, and I stick out my foot to trip him. I mean, it's pretty deliberate kind of stuff. That's kind of the idea. It has that kaptos word that means to cut somebody off. Have you ever had somebody pull in front of you and cut you off? That's what it's talking about here. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And then he goes into extreme measures. Even as I please all, men is in italics. It's not talking about men, males. In all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. So much of our discussion has to be oriented, look at me, out there. Not in here with the three old prunes. We don't have them particularly in our church. Did in St. Louis. I had the old woman that no matter what you said, she was again it. She was again everything. Life itself. You smiled, she frowned. By the way, it happened last Sunday night in this church. I was joking with Cliff and Dada, and I was like, why is that person frowning? You should be asking questions. Mm-hmm. Then lastly, he says, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Those are the final four premises: glorifying God, avoiding offense, building bridges so that people might be saved, and following precedent. There is something about Christianity, believe it or not, you didn't start it. That's a shocking thought. All right. We're going to talk about a lot of other things. I have to introduce something that's hard, and I will introduce it again next week, and then the following week, and then the following week, and then the following week, which is something I have done 6, 8, 10 years ago. But my wife remembers it, shockingly. Do you? Let's pray together. Father, help me as I try to share simple truths. I ask in Christ's name. Brian, if you put your stuff down and come up here. Brian, of course, anybody that knows me knows I like this guy. Brian is, you have to be careful, he is a hugger. But he's gotten big and macho in his old age. So old people he can hurt. So he usually comes up and shakes my hand, and by the way, there's nothing more beautiful than doing this to somebody that you love. Okay, Louie?
Don't hurt him.
No, Louis is hurting, not Louis. Now, I'm just speaking on, it's not about Louis. That's not the only way a Christian has to act. Now, we're not, I don't think we'll have near enough time to read, because we're going to get out on time or early this morning. But let me just say it real simple. May I say it real simple to you? There are also things that you have to not be given hugs. You have to be given this. Do you understand? I don't approve of that. I don't agree with that. And I'm not hugging you over that. By the way, that includes your family, your friends, and everybody you know. But here's our problem. Let's see if we can get Rhonda back on track here. Everybody up here? I'm not mad at anybody. I want everybody to take a breath. If you cannot do this, what kind of Christianity do you have? I'm asking you a question. By the way, you're at 1 Corinthians 5. There's a man, it's in the notes, we won't have time to read it. There's a man living with his, the King James says accurately, his father's wife. Most people hope that means stepmother, but it doesn't say that in Greek. He's having sex with his dad's wife, or maybe even his mother. And the Christians are doing this. Love you, brother! Woo! It actually is worse than that. It says they're puffed up. Now, here's the hard part. This is not hard for me. I can give hugs to people I like Big B. I have no doubt.
You never hug me.
I don't hug a lot of guys, by the way. There's just a few guys. It's just like, folks, it was the year 2000 in this church. Raquelita Cardenas was leaving her and Tony to go down to San Antonio to finish up his army career and then retire. She hugged me. It took me 3 to 6 months to get over that. I come from a hugging group. I have gradually acclimated to the hugs. Some of you. Now, Donna, here's our real problem. Hugs is easy. By the way, some people could hug the devil right here this morning if they're related to you, or you like them, or they're on your posse. Or whatever. By the way, you already know this. You cannot not hug somebody. Some of us can do this. The hard part is this. I love you, but I'm not approving of that activity. That's the hard part. Yes or no?
Yes.
And to do both of those at the same time, physically it's difficult. So you say, we had a young lady in this church get pregnant. We had that recently. And I had all the little Billy Baptists here and all the little gossips, and there's plenty of them. You have no idea what was going on behind the scenes, of course not, because you don't need to know the things. Gossip is better and easier. Mm-hmm. By the way, they're married now. Everybody knows who it is. Dedicated the baby last week. By the way, she wants to get baptized. Did she do right? Talk to her. I had her in my office, and I said to her something to this effect. We love you. I'm happy you want to move forward for the Lord. And listen, I said, nothing is wrong with a baby. That's God's gift. But you made some wrong choices and started everything backwards. Yes or no?
Yes.
Can you say that? Or is everything, I love you so much. So here's the hard part. Now, there are some people, by the way, if you're a child molester, you don't get this. You get this. And then call the police, okay? Maybe the call to the police and then the other. It makes no difference. But friends, somehow doing both actions, can we, I'm going to ask you, can you do that with people that are on your posse team? You know, the people that are in your back pocket. And I know none of you recognize that I actually have eyes to see. Thank you, gentlemen. Louis? Louis. Everybody?
Thank you,
the one lasted 3 to 6 months. This is the rest of my life. Oh no! All right, friends. Checking up. Do we still use that? Not we. Just hooking up now.
Cohabitating.
Well, yeah, this is different. For me, those are slightly different. Hooking up is just, because you have people that meet somebody in a bar and have sex that night. I'm like, what? You don't even know this person? By the way, alcohol is never involved. Hello? That's the reason I like alcohol so much. I'm a very much of a pro-drinker. It makes you so much more intelligent and wise. I say again, I said to Dave and Nicole this week, I say it to you. I don't need any help. I can be a fool all by myself.
Right.
Booze too? Marijuana? Okay. Shacking up or hooking up? Is it okay? Not okay? Big deal? Is it a big deal? Or do we just kind of, if it's, by the way, you've got to get back to you. This is not about Pastor Warren. Is it okay if one of your friends does it?
You call it a relationship.
Oh, thank you. What else? What else? Yes. It's a relationship.
Culturally, that's how we skirt around it.
Definitely okay in the culture. What else? You're missing the most important word. What? They love each other. Come on, folks. Have you never listened to music from the 60s or 70s? You can listen to it. No, it shows up every place. Here it is. Love is all you need. All you need is love. Oh. Wait a minute. Can I say this? If you think that music is despicable, you haven't listened to any music in the last 20 years. They just dropped the love part altogether.
Right.
We're just two animals. Right. Animals in heat. So what about this? Is this okay? If somebody in our church is doing this, you're fine with it? When are you fine with it? When are you not fine with it? What should you do? By the way, and let's put all the... Yeah, a lot of this junk is going to come down to this, really. Well, they love each other. Okay, what do you think?
I think we've made it very practical. With financial situations, you have two people in a relationship, young people, want to be on their own. You can't afford to be on your own by yourself. Person A can't afford to be on their own by themselves. Person B can't afford to be on their own themselves. But we're in a relationship. We love each other. If we just merge, we can afford to be on our own together without the commitment of marriage. And then you're seeing if we are compatible. Let's see.
Oh, that's a dinky day.
So they're just roommates, yeah.
Right, but then we got the other end of the spectrum, too. You have two older people who want to get married, but they can't afford to because they'll lose their Social Security. So they're going to live together.
To see if they're, by the way, yeah, that's a unique case, part of our stupidity. This is the compatibility is a big thing. Are we compatible? Let me give all of the young people in this room a hint. You guys ready?
No.
You're not compatible. Shut that stupid stuff up right now. You will learn to become compatible or you won't survive. This thing of I'm going to meet the person, you know, walking in the airport, there she is, in my case, wouldn't be a he. and I'm in, oh, you say, by the way, it always works for the first little bit. Until real life shows up, and real life always shows up. All right, so you think it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Is there a verse someplace that says, thou shalt not shack up? You say it's adultery.
Yeah.
they're in love. Love is all you need, Jim. Come on. Get with it. I know you've heard the song.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else? This is a hard question, easy question.
I had a person argue with me one time. He wanted to get busy with a lady he was involved with. And he was trying to say, well, in the Old Testament, marriage was different. He could just take whatever woman he wanted. Blah, 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 blah.
Really? You just take a woman? Yeah.
Yeah, why do we have to have some sort of government or even spiritual authority over us?
Actually, you do not have to have a governmental thing. In the biblical sense, leaving one's father and mother, step one. By the way, Filipinos included, all groups included, leaving your family, rule number one, that's a command, that's a teaching. Genesis, Matthew 19, Ephesians 5. Number two, joining together. And number three, consummating. But Malachi also has that little word. He calls it a covenant, a making of oaths. That's the marriage bond, friend, the making of oaths. And if you don't make an oath, then you're playing games. I actually believe, by the way, that most people today think it's okay to do this. And then there's another value of this. You all know what the big value is. You never get divorced.
Right.
Because you never got married.
Right.
By the way, 1 Corinthians 6 kind of deals with this subject. You do know that, don't you? 1 Corinthians 6 has a I've done it in Bible class. Paul talks about, you know, it's more than just a big deal, because when two people come together, they share something. And then when you come apart, some of you went that way and some of that person went this way. It isn't like, oh, no big deal. And if you don't believe this, meet a woman. I've only met one. I confess, I only met one. In my mother-in-law's church 40 years ago, got saved out of prostitution. She was the most weirdest person, hollow on the inside, because she just kept getting peeled off layers of her with males. And after a while, even though I believe she was truly saved, you don't fix that hole in your soul. You just, life was being peeled away. All right, somebody had their hand up and wanted to say something. Amy, go ahead.
I think the financial aspect that Dave and Mrs. Duncan have alluded to, I hear it at school. So we have families that have state funding, and then when they choose to get married, they do lose it. So there are Christians who choose not to get married, or say, we have one family, and they're not Christians, but they say, we're married in the eyes of God, and we don't care about the law. And it's specifically because their children are on the child care assistance program. But I was actually...
Oh, wait a minute. Everybody take a bigger breath than you've taken all morning. This starts with a wonderful president named Johnson. With the welfare society, and the welfare society was divorced from Christianity, so it all comes from that stupid.
Yes.
And we cannot figure it out how to undo it or do it in a way that actually helps people. But see, it's all philosophy. I forgot to tell you, what did Emily talk to me about? A Judeo-Christian what? You see, things used to be informed by, they didn't quote the Bible, but Christianity informed everything. Now, what's eventually happened is this. Are you all recognizing what I'm doing? I am erasing what? The backdrop of Christianity in our culture. I've said it. I'll say it again. I am not as negative as everybody here in the room thinks I am, so I'm not going to blame this person. This person is not the cause. He is the result. Barack Obama. All you got to do is go back to Bill Clinton if you're old enough, and some of you are not. Bill Clinton could not contradict Christianity publicly. He'd go over the line. I'm personally against abortion. What's the word? But. Now, he was for abortion, but he knew the Christian backdrop would eat his lunch. What about gays in the military? Which, by the way, we've always had gays in the military. Grow up, get a life. That's a whole different world than transgender, which is a process they want the government to pay for. And the only purpose of the military is sharp end of the spear. But he said, don't ask, don't tell. As a policy, I'm for it. Actually, as a policy, I would be for that in any work environment. Don't tell me about your sex life. I don't want to know. Thank you very much. Shut up. Now, no anger. This is not, I do not think he's the cause. Some conservatives think so. He's a symptom. Barack Obama went around the world. This is a religion. You can find the quotes from him saying things like, yes, America is not a Christian nation. And gay marriage, everything started moving. And it, by the way, it wasn't him, but what ends up happening is this. So I told several people, this is not a secret. My father, which was not a believer, is that clear? Not a Christian. Did he ever go to church? He never heard me preach. Okay, was he a hateful man? No, not at all. But he was a Christian unbeliever. Meaning, he had all of this. It happened more than once. Somebody came to the house, farm, or wherever we lived, wanted to stay, and the man and the woman weren't married. Dad would simply say, well, you can't stay here. That was an unsaved guy. Because I think he thought marriage was important. What do you all think? Oh, wait a minute. He also grew up with a father and a mother that cheated. And worse than cheated. The father was worthless and the mother was slightly better. Both of them had children with other people during the marriage. Is that a good marriage? This would have been in the great, in the, not the Great Tribulation, the Great Depression. My father had real particular opinions about that. You just don't do that kind of thing. All right, so I got a question. What are you going to, now here's the hard part. Well, what's the hard part about the checking up? Let's get past your religion. What becomes difficult? What, Amy?
What are you going to do about it?
What happens when your child?
I see it as two sets, right? For a friend who is unsaved, that's no question. But for a believer.
By the way, exactly. If you're an unsaved person, you're an unsaved person.
But see, a closer of mine or my daughter, example, they're checking out, right? They know where you stand already. It's useless for me to argue. They're working, they're professors already. So what do? I just think, Pastor, one day, if you are already a child of God, you'll see what you're. What? I have a set of seats to pastor. How will I judge my own people? Hey, you have your own seats of your seats to that. God will judge you later. I am not, you know, who has no sin, throw the first stone. So why even argue with it?
I know one person that didn't throw a stone, and he could have.
Another example, Pastor, is let's say a family.
So what is your answer? So if it's an unsaved person,
I let God.
Yeah, because
oh, no,
obviously
say, hey,
they're unsaved.
They won't understand you, but if a Christian, hey.
But then you go back to what Pastor was saying. I love you, but I don't agree with what you're doing.
Correct.
And you let them
and that's
know
a really hard balance, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to bring it up today because she's not in here. So just so you know, I will bring it up in the near future when your wife is in here because we also have to go another step. See, here's your problem. Some of you can't imagine any other kind of thing happening in your family. What if one of your brothers and sisters decides to become... Hello? I'm talking about whatever, and there's a list. This literally happens. By the way, do you let the two guys or the two women sleep in your house? Do you approve? See, there's some real difficult things. Now, I come from a huge family. We have, that I know of, one guy and one girl. The girl I have not seen since I was in high school. The guy I have seen for the first time in 50 years. Can I be honest with you? For my favorite uncle. By the way, are you all listening? Men? Now, some of you have wonderful wives. His wife was a nutcase. She still is. They only been married 65 years. Ruined the boy. By the way, you all know this, don't you? Mom, boy, dad, girl. Oh, my goodness. She is a mess. So, I never have had to deal with this because of the size of the family. It's distant. There's no interference. There's no hatred either. I don't go to a family reunion of 100 people and everybody's talking about the gay guy. It's just not an issue. But I think if you come from a small family, this can be pretty frustrating. And you say, that'll never happen. Who knows? Again, I could not even have thought of this in 1988 when I became a senior pastor. This would have been outside of my thoughts. Transgender, I didn't even know what that was hardly when it started showing up. And now we figured out nobody really knows, we're just clever language. All right, what do you guys think?
So the hard part about that is,
yes.
I'm a boundaries person. It's
easy. Really?
It's easy to say.
And is she a boundaries person too? Well, let's go. Let's give which one it is. Who's the hugger? Who's the hugger here?
Yeah. So it's easy, especially as Christians, to be like, bam, boundary, bad, don't do it. But honestly, when it comes to these subjects, if you don't have that love, and these people a lot of times are going to say, I want the Christians to shun me so I can say that's why I can't do that. So they look at us and say, you guys hate us, you guys, you know, or whatever you want to say, and that's why they can say Christianity is not for me, I don't need Jesus, I don't need that, because of the way we draw our lines and say you're bad. So that's why this is so important to have the love and boundaries together.
By the way, everybody knows the, I'm assuming you know the code words. If you don't, you've got to get used to the code words. This has been going on 25, 30 years at least. It has become more churches. Is a church open? Open and affirming? Or is a church closed off? Now, of course, this one here sounds immediately in American mind, that's just evil. Live in San Francisco. And have a small Baptist church out there of 100 people, 200, 500. And have 100 gay guys walk into your service one Sunday morning to disrupt. And then talk to me about your opinions. And that actually happens. Several of the churches have had major problems in some areas. What is it? I can't remember the name. I don't want to get it wrong, so I won't go there. Closed off in some ways is wrong. Our church, I would consider open. If you're gay, you come here, we're fine. Now, you're not going to use this place as your place to find a matchup. You're not going to mess with kids. But by the way, neither is a guy that, if we know a guy in this church has any proclivities towards porn and child problems, you do realize the guy you're looking at, that some of you really, and there's people in this church saying, I'm the dumbest guy in the world. I'm watching people all the time. I assume you know that. I watch how people treat young kids. I have other people that I trust that are watching. We do it all the time. You have to. Do you not know this? Or you can get a predator come right in here. We had a semi-predator come in here. And by the way, Jim, I'm going to ask you a question. You told me one night there was a problem, and that night was that guy's last time here, correct? Correct. And Louie, you were part of it. I got 9 guys to come down and show him out. I think these are hard questions. Now, my biggest problem, Dave, I agree. You're a lying guy. This is going to surprise you. He knows. I am too, in theory. Practice gets real hard because I'm a softie. My bigger problem is we're hugging way too many people these days. So the danger is if you're not open at all and all you show is disapproval, they have no hope and they have no interest. But if you show too much openness and hugging, everybody's saved. That's what I've learned recently. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. All dogs go to heaven when they die. All right. Thoughts? Some of you, this makes you nervous, doesn't it? Especially when it's your children or your posse or your little group of people that pat you on the back. We have a hard time saying, you know what? That's not the right thing to do. And that doesn't mean you become a nag. Every time you see Louie, you... not Louie, but I'm using him. Go ahead, Steve.
One thing I think of is you have to be open enough so you can give them the gospel. If you're so closed off that they will never, you know, how can we propagate the gospel if we're not open to at least talking with them?
I know how. I can do it without ever talking to them. I can't make it. I'm not good at creating. I used to be able to make a little airplane. You just toss them the gospel over the fence. Right. Yes?
A track, right.
Yeah. Here, I don't want to talk to you. You should go through life doing this. you know, unclean. Go ahead. Anyone else? Jim?
Well, I think part of the difference between closed off and open is how are you handling gays and all that in the workplace? What is, are you going, are you willing to tell them what you believe and make sure that they understand that you're who you are and that you're not judging them, but I have a different direction in life.
Well, in some senses you are judging. I mean, the scripture is pretty clear about this, but you're not judging them as a person, and it's hard to separate that out. It's easy, by the way, the old quote, hate the sin, love the sinner. I'm not opposed to it, but I don't think it solves many problems. I think you're always going to have this problem. Now, the guy you're looking at. So, Big B, how old are you, buddy?
19.
21. I'm 19.
That's what you
got
to watch out for.
Ouch. I think we've reached some hugging going on there, friends. So, Mr. Tupper, young Mr. Tupper. When I was 24, I left this church, went to work in a hospital. Now, we had gay guys in the Navy. You knew they were. But back in those days, again, people just didn't talk about that piece of life. You knew who they were. You just lived your life, let them live their life. You moved on. I work with two guys. Their boyfriend and boyfriend. They changed their name, rhyming names. His name was Eric Erickson, and his boyfriend changed his name to Robert Roderick. And by the way, Eric was flaming. You understand? I mean, he was a guy that was so out there as a gay that, well, it caused a lot of problems because, see, you guys don't know 1981 to 1986. What happened in the medical world? People would come in and he, oh, I forgot, he was the phlebotomist. They would walk in and here's a gay guy comes up to them, wanting to draw, no, so he ended up getting fired for other reasons, by the way. The reason all companies like that fire you, you're late too many times or you call off too many times. That's the only reason they can fire anybody. I would say this to you, if he was here, if he's alive, I doubt it. If he was here, he would say I was good to him. Never mistreated him. I actually tried to understand him. I still remember the day he told me this statement. Some of you, this will be a little beyond your ability. He said, my dad is my grandpa. It started from that. Incest, perversion, and it's just generations of stupid. All right, it is now 20 to 11. We're done for the day. I'll see you upstairs at 11. Thank you. Nicole, Louie and Keith, I'll need the hug after all of that. Leah. I saw a picture of you yesterday. Looked like to me you were stunning.
Oh, yes.
How's that looking?